He who receives me receives him who sent me. This is the Master's message. This message can be found in Matthew 10th chapter. I was forced to write the last verse first, as to give me a true meaning of the truth of the Master's message. Meaning is, he that receives the Spirit of God manifesting in the flesh, which is the Spirit of God, receives God through understanding. But he who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, gains only a prophet's reward. He who listens to the prophet's words and only dwells upon the prophet's words, not knowing that this is spirit that within that does the work, then you only receive a prophet's reward. But when one understands great significance of the Master's words, he who receives me receives him who sent me. These words have tremendous significance, and it's so essential that we should dwell upon them so that we shall find the answer in ourselves. I find the answer to this in myself, and I'm sure you must also find the answer within yourselves. It is not the prophet that you must receive, but the Spirit of God that is in him. This is the true meaning of the Master's words, and he applied them to himself. I of myself am nothing. It's the Spirit of the Father within me that doeth the work. It is the same with us all. It is the Spirit that enlighteneth the mind. The Spirit of God is with you and within you. The prophet is the means and not the end. The Spirit is beginning and end. So the prophet by himself is nothing. It's the Father within that doeth the work. We have to have this divine reasoning so that when we unearth our emotional habit patterns, we are not only left bare, naked, just with the loss of our emotional habit patterns, not knowing where we are. But when we have this divine reasoning, we have a foundation. These words come to me also, he who builds his house upon a rock, and he who builds his house upon the sand. The one that builds a house upon a rock, the winds came, the storms blew, and the house was stood. But he who built his house upon the sand, the winds came, and the storm blew, and great was the fall thereof. That is why most people build their houses on sand because of the shifting sands of the human being. The shifting hands stands off the intellect of mankind. The intellect is but the intellect. But when you build your house upon the rock, that is divine reasoning. And that is why I am giving you this first. So that when we pass into this lecture and we unearth these habit patterns of ours, that we can destroy them by knowing them, by understanding them, not by trying to fight them or struggling with them, because that is useless. You only give them a power that you not possess. So the prophet is the means and not the end. The spirit is the beginning and end. So the prophet by himself is nothing. It's the Father within that does the work. As I write these words, I know they were for me also. It's words like these that keep one humble, so that the Father can do the work. And I am grateful for the humbling process of these words have on me. It reminds me that by myself I am nothing. Only with the Father all is possible. When I was in the Himalayas, my teacher asked me these questions, and I'm going to put them to you also. These questions, when answered properly to yourselves, will enable you to understand yourselves and so relieve you of many perplexing emotional patterns of that picture in your bodies. You virtually unearth your emotional patterns. These questions are very pertinent questions, but it is what everyone does. But as everyone does it, no one knows that they're doing it. And that is how you're caught up in your doing, caught up in your emotional habit patterns, caught up in these various things that you do every day. And because they are so common, you make a habit of doing them, and consequently you create the emotional habit pattern that expresses itself upon the body. But remember this, that all mental reactions, all emotional reactions have their effect upon the physical organism. The physical organism is what we call the sounding board for your thoughts and emotions. And through the nerves, you have the expression. I'm going to tell you stories, but I think we'll leave these till the time comes. Sometimes I feel I want to go further than I should, to take you a little bit further, but I know that it's far better to wait until the time comes so that you take these things step by step. So here goes. Here are the questions. Number one, are you thin-skinned? That is to say, do others affect you easily? Or are you indifferent to snubs as a battle cruiser is indifferent to a pea shooter? Are you sensitive to what others say about you? Are you boiling up within while you show an outside appearance of calm? Therefore the habit patterns come in. Conflict between two things. It is when two, you have two things conflicting with one another, there the habit pattern is established. For instance, take a person perhaps who is brought up in poor circumstances, poor food and poor clothing, goes to school, and he begins to compare himself with other boys and girls. First of all, this comparison is the first thing that starts the emotional habit pattern. The boy wants, whatever it is, he wants to go ahead. He wants to play, yet he wants to shrink away. He wants to do two things at the same time. He grows up in life, and because of his early childhood, he forces himself into a position where he gets into the head or into a very good position in life. He meets other people who are in a position like him, yet he feels that same inferiority. He's not comfortable because he thinks of the other person and himself. He begins to compare. He wonders, this other person is well dressed, he's well dressed, but he does not think that he's well dressed because of his early influences and these habit patterns. Although he's forgotten the incidents of his early life, he feels this sort of inferiority which takes place of him among his associates. And here is an instance of one person that I knew. He was such as that, and he grew up to be the head of a great industry. He used to go out and play golf, and he met his friend who was a great surgeon, one of the greatest surgeons of his time. And when he was with him, he found this surgeon was very calm and peaceful and had a freedom that he didn't have. So he took this friend, sergeant friends of his apart, and he said, "I admire you very much." He says, "I always feel a feeling of inferiority when I come in contact. I'm just talking straight." So this person said, "Why should you feel that?" Well, he said, "I was brought up in poor circumstances." He told the story how he felt so inferior. So he turned to the surgeon and he said, "Now you see what I mean." "Yes," says the surgeon. "But I was the same. I was brought up even in poorer circumstances than you were." "Well, how is it," he says, "that you're so free?" He said, "Well," he said, "I've come to the conclusion long ago, and I lost all this inferiority because," he said, "I felt that whatever I could do for my brother man, I would do. And I lost myself in doing these things." He says, I lost all inferiority. I lost all sense of this inferiority idea of myself, because I found that as I did more for others, I escaped from this feeling of inferiority." So he said, the other man says, "I see now," he said, "how it is. I've always been making money. I am perhaps the richest man here," but he says, "it was always money, money, money." "Now," he says, "I see the answer." And he lost his inferiority complex. This, every individual, no matter who they are, have a foundation in the same thing as this. It is the prophet in the beginning. "Is he who accepts me? He receives me, receives him who sent me." And if you can realize that truth, you will find that even then you will lose that inferiority, that complex where you have comparisons, that you compare yourself with others. There is nothing in comparisons. That is the double mind. If your mind is full of opposites, you can never be free. Never. So we'll go on with these questions. It is not so easy for the ordinary person to withstand the rough and tumble of the social scrum and not get hurt sometimes. But you are growing up. But as you are growing up, you will see how necessary it is to understand yourselves. When you know what you are doing, then you are on the way to freedom. But if you are caught up in emotional reflexes, then you are laying up trouble for yourselves. Therefore, I want you to think over these questions quietly in your own homes and see how they affect you. It is always the personality that gets hurt. The spirit, never. All is according to which is out in front. To which is out. Is it your personality that's out in front? Or is it the spirit which is real? If your personality is out, all's out in front, you're sure to be hurt. And very much indeed. But if the spirit is out in front, then there is no hurt. There is freedom. But do you smile, but secretly smart under a wisecrack, while on the outside you put on a show of indifference, yet harbor enmity and revenge? This is not good for your health. If you could see what goes on inside the brain and nerve system, where habit patterns are established, you would think twice. Do you feel upset that your friends talk about you in your absence? Or have you arrived at that state of mind where you are indifferent about it? And you are not affected inwardly or outwardly? Or are you just wrapped up in the feelings of inferiority that makes you imagine that others talk about you? There again is the danger of comparisons. You are comparing yourselves with others. Immediately you begin to compare, you have lost the spirit of truth. You live in a mind of comparisons where there are opposites. And where there are opposites, there can be no truth. There can be no freedom. Do you feel charmed or elevated when others say nice things about you? Or when you hear the opposite, you are enraged? What is out in front? Ask yourself this question now. What is out in front? The spirit? Or is it the personality? Personality is the mask that is false. The spirit is that which is true. Everyone has a personality. Everyone, no matter who they are, have a personality. But if that personality is tinged with the Spirit, and the Spirit is expressing itself through it, the Spirit comes out in front, and the personality passes into the rear. It gets behind. It otherwise says, as Jesus said, "Get ye behind me, Satan." Approbation is a dominant power in human nature. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Its importance lies in the fact that it is a force which we allow to work against us. 99% of people like to hear or tell something about themselves. The more this subtle force is used, so we are affected negatively by its influence. Why? Quite easy to understand. There is in the individual a sense of poverty, inward poverty. Even if the outer things are glorious and flourishing, even if you have castles, even if you have land, even if you have everything, there is an inward poverty, and that inward poverty is the cause of this approbation. And the more then you try to express yourself through approbation or seek it, then the greater the inward poverty becomes. You must recognize this. You must find the motive behind your action. If you do not find the motive behind your action, you cannot destroy these habit patterns. You are caught up in them. And they affect your nervous system because your body and your nervous system is the organism of expression. It's the sounding board for your thoughts, your emotions. Emotion is necessary to a balanced life. Cannot pass through life without emotion. You'd like to be like a piece of wood. But there is the type of emotion that I'm going to show you that brings you into that particular expression that nature has designed you for. Nature has designed the mechanism of the mind and the body and the heart for the emotional expression of nature herself. And when nature begins to play upon her harp strings that she created for the purpose, harp strings, which are in tune, are in the mind and body of each and every individual. And as nature begins to play her harmonious tunes through the individual, that emotion of the music of that grand and wonderful sound of nature give you health, strength, happiness and peace. Leads you away from these stupid habit patterns that you create by your own reactions things external to yourselves. The music comes from within, not from without. It rises within the soul. When you are listening to music, a perfect piece of music, and I mean the bagpipes too, don't you? Perhaps the bagpipes is just the greatest music in the world. And it is to some people, because when you play a pibroch, and you belong to the Highlands of Scotland, and you listen to that pibroch, there is something happens to you. It's like that you were born again. You lose yourselves entirely. The music seems to flow over you and you become the music itself. There is no tenseness. There is a perfect relaxation, and there we find the beautiful melodies of that wonderful Highland Gaelic songs, Soromian and Boyer. So Ramian and Boyach, Mahalak Plays Boyach, Afos Miyachu. And all these particular songs, they're wonderful. They have the habit, they have the wonderful expression of rising something within the individual. And that is the emotion that comes with nature. When you enter into that silence, into the heart of things. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Yes, that's true. But in that meaning is the very center of one's being, the heart of one's being. When one thinks what a man thinketh in his heart, deep in his very soul, so is he. That then gives us the true key to nature's harmony of love, peace, joy, happiness. So emotion is necessary to a balanced life, but true emotions are those that which elevate and create ambition and action. We must cultivate these, but on the other hand, we must not suppress the emotions that harm us. We must understand them and not be caught up in them. We must not fight them or struggle with them, because in that struggle you create a habit pattern. Why? For the simple reason you are creating opposites. You create a conflict within yourselves. To understand them, to know them, to drop away from. I am spirit. Here is the way I would reason all these things. I am spirit. Father and I am one. With my Father all is possible. There is nothing else. Therefore I see that no harm can come to me except I struggle with something. The story about Jacob when he Rachel wrestled with the angel of heaven, and the angel put his thumb in his hip, and he would walk with a limp ever after. What was Jacob doing? He was struggling. He was struggling between good and evil. And it was in this struggle between good and evil that left the mark upon Jacob. If he had realized the truth, he would not have struggled with good or evil. These are opposites. You're comparing, comparisons. Understand what they are. Then you will see that they are all relative, that they're in your mind. The tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life are the same things. We're told that these two trees grew in the garden. The Garden of Eden is the soul of man. These two green trees grow in the soul of man. One is the tree of life, the Spirit of God, that is eternal. The other is a tree of knowledge of good and evil, is what man thinks about things. The tree of knowledge of good and evil has its roots in man only. But the tree of life has its roots in God, as he tells. It's the tree of salvation. Therefore, I'm showing you towards it. Single. Be ye single. Let your mind be single. Let your eye be single. There is a word called transmutation. It's a wonderful meaning. It means to transform, to change. And this is what we do automatically to these emotions that create misbehavior in our cerebellum. When we understand them and do not suppress them or cause delayed action. Like a delayed action bomb that may go off any time, causing disturbance in the nervous system, affecting the body in many ways. Constructive emotions are those we feel when we hear beautiful music, a beautiful voice, a thrilling lecture, or when we love someone. When we admire qualities in others which we would like to have in ourselves. When we see beautiful flowers. We should always look for things. The things we would like to have in ourselves. Some people say that they are deathly affected by flowers. That they cause them asthma. Bronchitis. I remember a man who came to me suffering from asthma, which he claimed were caused by roses. When he came in contact with roses, he had a paroxysm in which he struggled for air. This was nothing more than a spasm of the muscles surrounding the bronchial tubes through an emotional habit pattern. I proved this, for when he came to me the next time, by appointment I had a bowl of roses in the room. Immediately he saw them, he had a spasm. But these roses were made of paper. Therefore roses were not the cause. And when I tore the those roses up and showed them they were pieces of paper, then he knew that it was not roses that was the cause of his spasm, but something that was identified by roses. And he identified himself with roses through an emotional habit, action, which he had forgotten all about. Yet, it came to the surface through association. It rang the bell. Many people are suffering from the same thing. You may go around the street, you may go into a gallery, you may go anywhere into a house, you may travel on a train, you may go on a ship, you may on a boat, you may anywhere, and all of a sudden an emotional feeling may rise up, which makes you shiver. It makes you fearful. You feel a thought of fear, but you do not know where it's coming from. Why? For the simple reason that through your senses, through seeing or hearing something has flashed through the, what we call association, to a little bell that is hidden away in your cells. An emotional habit pack that is invisible rings a bell and up flows the emotion and you do not know the reason why. You fear something. Well, let me tell you this, that there is nothing to fear. And when you begin to clearly see this truth, you will unearth these emotional habit patterns, you will drag them out by the neck, and you will see them for what they are, and they will just disappear. Nine-tenths of your troubles today is created by emotional habit patterns. Nine-tenths of your troubles. Because of the fact that the body is the sounding board for your thoughts and emotions. Therefore, the roses were not the cause. On asking him what memory roses brought him, he told me that he was engaged to a beautiful girl, and every day he sent her roses. And when he found out that his beloved was untrue to him, he could not stand the sight of roses, as they brought up memories. So therefore, the roses were the trouble. If not the roses at all were the trouble, but the roses were the symbol to bring into operation his habit pattern. At the beginning, roses did not have a violent effect upon him, but as time passed, by the repetition, the emotional habit pattern became established in the form of asthma. Therefore, asthma and roses were joined together. They were the link. The link between them was this particular girl. So be careful. Be careful. But if you know all this, understand it, you will not fall into the trap. You see? When he found out that my roses were made of paper, he realized that roses were not the cause. It was the emotional habit pattern created through his disappointment in love, and roses were the symbol. Scientifically directed relaxation and divine reasoning cured him. So, there you are. That is what love can do for you. If you are not careful, the majority of asthma cases, duodenal ulcers, and skin troubles, etc., are nothing more than emotional habit patterns as pictured in the body through nerve spasms. Now let us get back to our questions. Have you, in the heat of conversation allow yourself to say things about others, that if they were said against you, you would be hurt. Yet you never think what you say about others. Majority of people talk so easily and so glibly. Then words just flow out of their mouths. Habit. As long as you can get two or three people together, you always get them talking about somebody else. And habit again. They don't mean any harm. No, they don't mean any harm. But, let anybody else say the things that they've said, and then the habit pattern rises to the surface in the form of anger, rage, jealousy, or whatever the case may be. There then you see you are destroying yourselves. Are you like leaves in the forest, wafted here and there by the wind? You must be different. Never allow others to lead you into conversational traps about other people, for it is sure to come to roost on your own head. What I am trying to do is to bring you face to face with yourself. This is what the masters call mirroring the soul. Mirroring the soul. Without seeing yourself, you cannot eradicate the error. You must see yourself to eradicate the error. Therefore, you mirror your soul. You look at it. You see exactly what's taking place. Then you begin to know what you are, what you're doing. But you do not struggle with what you're doing. Neither do you say you're bad or whether you're good. Because you are nothing of one or the other. That belongs to your mind. That belongs to the idea about yourself. It means nothing at all as far as reality is concerned. I'm dealing with reality. I'm bringing reality out to the front, where it must be free from comparisons, right or wrong, good or bad. Unless you can see this, you will never escape your own emotional habit patterns. The next question is, have you arrived at that state where you know what you want? And are you influenced by others? By the hat you bought, the dress you bought, the house you bought, the car you bought. You thought at the time they were lovely, yet your friends preferred something else. Are you affected by these criticisms? Or can you still depend upon your own judgment? Are you like the leaves in the forest, wafted here and there by the wind? Are you afraid that your ideas and decisions are always wrong? Or can you make up your mind to make a decision and stick to it when you know you are right? Or are you like the leaves of the forest wafted by the ignorant opinions of those who do not know? When you have studied the prophecy, when you have made your particular profession your life, You understand it? If others try to influence you with ignorant opinions, if you are weak, then you may take their opinions, and you may fall. Listen to me. There is an instinctive intelligence, a divine intelligence that is always guiding you through inspiration. If you listen to that inner voice, it is always clear to the person who understands how to hear. And that how to hear it is, duck within from the outside, close the outside, listen. That's how you hear the inner voice. You cannot hear it from outside. It's too noisy. It's blurred. The majority of people are influenced by suggestion. Suggestion hedges us on every side. There is the written, the spoken word, and pictures that suggest to you what to say, what to do. So you buy and you do, believing what is suggested is true. But experience has taught us that all that glitters is not gold and all that sparkles is not diamonds. That the majority of people are caught up in suggestion. In fact, they will eat any food that's suggested, that is advertised in the paper as building foods, bone building foods, muscle-building foods, flesh-building foods, and all the rest of it, and these things have got no foundation whatsoever. To call them blood-building foods or bone-building foods or any other kind of building foods, they're just a mere advertisement, but you're suggested by words and pictures, like the wind. You're suckered. Oh, everybody in the world is a sucker until he begins to recognize his own value and true values. Recognition from within himself, then he has his values of the things external to himself, when he has the true value of himself or herself. Then you're no longer a sucker. You will break these habit patterns. You will destroy those suggestions that are bearing upon you every day. And you will be free. Freedom comes through the recognition and realization of the truth. I am myself, I'm not. Spirit of the Father within me that do the work. Are you always looking for the faults in others and are blind to your own? Or can you see the big things in others and forget the small, petty things that do not matter? How many people are looking for the small little things? The small little things that blot out the most beautiful, wonderful characteristics of an individual. You tear them to pieces because of the small things. Yes, let me tell you this. Why you tear them to pieces is because these small things are rooted in yourself. You can only see in others what is rooted in yourself. And when you begin to see the greater within yourself, then you will look for the greater in others. Do not hide yourself in a corner and pray that no one may see you. because you're afraid of your own thoughts, or that you find it easy to get, that you do not find it easy to get into a conversation with others. Would you feel out of place if you were the only person in the party not in evening dress? Or is your mind big enough to bypass social etiquette and feel peaceful in your own knowing of the truth? These are the questions that were put to me in such a way that I had to search my own soul. And when I found that all these things were rooted in me, I recognized that they were. I admitted the fact that they were. I saw them clearly and distinctly that they were. But that's the only way that they passed away from. If I deny the fact or try to hide behind them and say that I was not that individual, that I was not so-and-so. And when at the end of the questioning, the master said, "What do you think of yourself now?" I said, "That's me." He said, "My son, you've spoken well." If I had said, "That's not me," but when we do see those things, and begin to realize that they are ourselves, that we are doing them every day, then we begin to drop them one by one, and we find that our emotional habit patterns, those things that are being expressed out in the body, begins to dissolve all the way too. We find these pains, these aches, all sorts of things, troubles and trials and tribulations, these small things that trouble us, just fade away into nothing. Can you enjoy the company of people who are less refined than yourself and stand good-naturedly above an argument and keep that even keel that is essential to good comradeship? You have an argument. And what are you arguing about? You don't argue about the truth, that's one thing. You're only arguing about your ideas against the other person's ideas. And what do your ideas amount to anyway? Not very much. So therefore you argue really on nothing. But people who do argue get heated. And they're no longer friends. They're no longer comrades. Are you impatient with other people, with their fads and fancies? Or would you be surprised if others found your conversation boring? Would you think it was weakness to witness a depth of emotion that brought tears to man's eyes? Could your soul reach such heights? Do you know that he who feels deeply with understanding can rule the world? If you witnessed the ordeal on the cross of Calvary, would you remain tearless and hard to the price that humanity had to pay for this act of barbarism? Yet this act of barbarism, we arrive at the divine symbol for all the world. Nevertheless, it was an act of barbarism. History will prove it. If the words from his lips at the greatest height of his suffering, forgive them, for they know not what to do, fell upon your ears, could you stand by tearless and emotionless? It is not that we should kill our emotion, but transmute and transform this energy that is misdirected by the emotions that create habit patterns from which we all suffer unknowingly. And we begin to see that there is a basic energy behind all emotion, whether they are good or bad. Therefore then we see that when energy is flowing in a particular direction, even the river can change its course. When the river flows out into the sea, it is lost. When the river is changed into channels, it fertilizes the land and we have growth. When we begin to realize within ourselves and understand these emotions that rise to our surface, when we see them, we do not suppress them in their negative and destructive state, but we understand them and transformation takes place. We water the land. And growth takes place. The soul begins to grow through understanding. No matter what your emotions may be, then you shall never suppress them but understand. A great harmonizing supreme emotion in which all us all within us all, and thereby we bring about our own salvation. And Paul put it eloquently to the Corinthians when he said, I may speak with the tongues of men and angels, yet if I have no love, I'm a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. I may fathom all mystery and ancient lore, yet if I have no love, it means nothing. If I have all the wisdom in the world and all the faith that can move mountains and do all these mighty things, and yet I have no love, I have done nothing. This is the binding quality of comradeship. The perfect ideal expressing itself on the cross of Calvary and culminating in the words, mind you, forgive them for they know not what they do. Love is impossible of analysis, because it is rooted in God, the Father of all, and no matter what you are, Hindu, Mohammedan, Christian, or Jew, the only salvation is through that one supreme harmonizing emotion. With divine reasoning, relaxation of brain, nerves, and muscles, in this state, we will say also, give them, or they know not what they are. Think. In a state of perfect relaxation, where the brain and nerves are quiet, the brakes are taken off, and the Father does the work. In the temple of the living God, He works in His own temple, mind you, created by Himself for His own self-expression. The life that I know has no conditions. It is free. This life that I know has no conditions attached to it. It is free. It is I myself that impose conditions upon life by my thoughts, my emotions, my reactions. But in that perfect state of relaxation, through divine reasoning, I enter that state of bliss where I can say also, forgive them, for they know not what to do. For this was this book, for this was spoken of by prophet Isaiah, the voice of one who cries in the desert, make ready, make the way ready for the Lord, level a path for Him. This is the I Am voice that remains in each one. The desert is the mind that is bound through ignorance. Level the path by discerning the cause of misery, so that the Lord Supreme may take His place in you and me. The Spirit that was with God, the Spirit that is God, I Am Spirit, made flesh, free from all conditions. This is what we shall arrive at when we cleanse, clear our minds by recognizing and discerning what is in them. Therefore we turn the searchlight upon ourselves and not upon others. When we turn the searchlight upon others, we look for the petty little things. Really, if we turn the searchlight in ourselves, we will find them deeply rooted there. How true those words of the Master say, take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see. Better to take the splinter out of your brother. Benediction. O thou great lover of error-torn brothers, the magic word of thy magic wand of thy words still linger in our hearts. Give them, they know not what they do. That trial upon the cross proved the victory of love over all anger and resentment and destructive emotion that harnessed men to his self-imposed shackles through ignorance. O beloved elder brother, you are our example. For what thou hast done, all can do, for thou hast told us so. Wisdom obliterates ignorance, love obliterates hatred, spirit obliterates death. The pain is subdued by understanding. Let us remember thee when harshness covers up our divine nature. And when we are crucified by others, let thy words be ours also. Our one desire is to be at home with thee, in the bosom of our Father and Mother God, who gives all birth into eternal life, peace, and happiness. So move.